right. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Living Savior Church. Praise the Lord. Good to have each one of you here today. Good to have you. Praise the Lord. God is doing some stuff.
Yes.
He's really doing some stuff. I'm just on the edge of my seat. Lord, what are we going to do next?
Woo. A lady called because her son was in the hospital with a kidney problem. He was a young child and some kind of bad infection. And we prayed and he got healed and he's out of the hospital.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
And this one I love. This happened at 11:10. I got this. He said, "Pray for me, brother. I'm passing a kidney stone." And so then that was 11:10, and I don't know why I happened to see it. So at 11:15, I wrote back and I said,
"That's at night, right?"
11:15 at night.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I don't know what June the 14th, whatever day that was. Anyway, I wrote back and I said, "Repent, we have prayed, and it is done. God commands you to love yourself. It's a sin if you do not love yourself. And here's a link to listen to about loving yourself. God commands it. Praise the Lord." And I write Pastor Thurman, although we're one, so it's okay. And I wrote, "Kidney stones are spirits of fear, stress, and anxiety, spirits of control, self-bitterness, self-hatred, self-rejection, envy, and jealousy." So he writes back, okay, so that was 11:15 that I wrote him. And then he wrote that morning at 7:22, and he said, "Thank you for your quick response, and praise God, as I was completely healed within 3 hours, your brother, Ray Gentry."
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, and if you've had a kidney stone, you know the pain that goes with that, so praise the Lord. All right, and then we have, this is a dream, and this is from Catalina in Germany. Now, we're praying for her little girl. She had leukemia. I think she was 6, I'm guessing, but she was little, okay? So this is, "I'm Catalina from Germany. You prayed for my little daughter who had leukemia. Remember us? I don't mean to bother you again, but I wanted to share a dream I had with you that impacted me and which might make you happy to hear. I dreamed I was at home and suddenly these microorganisms like spores and tiny flying insects started invading every room, flying everywhere, millions of them. I tried to get them out, but I could see even how some formed mini tornado figures. I felt overwhelmed. Then I went to the living room to seek help, and you were there. Thurman was there. It was as if that part of the house turned to be your ministry building offices. I told you the situation, and you said that these organisms caused a fatal disease and that we could die if we did not get rid of them." So I think the correlation here personally is that this is the leukemia, okay? Now, next, you asked me if I wanted you to get someone to help, and I said yes, but then you said, "No, we are going to pray."
Pray.
So I went with you into one of the rooms that was filled with these things, and in the moment you said, "Father, I could see how in the air everything paralyzed. The sunlight was coming through the window, and I could see clearly how these things were just floating but not moving. I looked astonished how suddenly there was total calm. Nothing moved. I could only hear how you beautifully prayed to the Father. You were not begging, nor were you demanding, but you were in love talking to the Father. I wish I could remember the words. When you finished your prayer, everything in the air had vanished. I asked you what had happened with all those organisms, and you reached out your hand in the air. And as you rubbed your fingers together, you said to me that they were now just dust. And I could see that dust as you rubbed your fingers in the air. Then your whole ministry gathered, and we were all full of glory, celebrating what God had done. The dream blessed me so much. I believe it has given me a glimpse of the invisible world and how things might work, the power of the prayer of faith and God's infinite love and grace. Praise our Heavenly Father. God bless you very, very much, Catalina."
Praise the Lord. Okay, you want to read Psalms 91?
Sure, I can.
I'd like for everybody to try your best to read it if you can at least once every day. So listen to what this is saying. Listen as Cheryl reads it slowly and powerfully. What is available to us if we only believe.
Psalm 91 is God's prayer of protection. "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked, if you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord, who is my refuge. Then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent. For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Now then, first of all, I guess I would, like we did last week, do you have a testimony that you would like to share? If anybody got a testimony that something's happened this week or in the last 2 or 3 weeks and you'd like to share it with us, we'd let you share it. Anybody have a testimony? We got some? Oh, okay. Well, come up here.
A few months ago, I gave a testimony about a friend of mine that I was traveling with, and we got stopped by a police officer, and we were traveling 95 miles an hour or so, and he said, oh, I've got myself a $600 ticket. I said, he's not going to write you a ticket. Well, I was standing on something that I had read, and Job says, you shall declare a thing, and it shall be established. And I believe that. And of all things, this police officer came up there and said, I'm not going to write you a ticket. We both about fell out of the truck. But he did not get a ticket. But anyway, he did not want to declare that that was the truth, the reason that officer didn't write him a ticket. But this same friend has a daughter who is about 44 years old. She is 44 years old. And she has a child that is about 12 or 13. And after they had this child, they had tried and tried for 12 years to have another child. And he was talking about this here a while back. And I told him, I said, why don't you have her call me, and I'll put them in church, in touch with the church, and Pastor Scribner and his wife will pray over her, and God will give her a child. He said, oh, I don't believe that. And he said, she's too old at this point to have a child, and I'm thinking about Sarah in the Bible. She was about 90 years old when she had a child. Well, I haven't said anything to him, but anyway, he didn't want me to pray about this. He didn't want me to have anything, you know, God to have anything to do with this, because it was impossible. Well, nothing is impossible to God. So I went home, and I prayed to the Lord about this, and I forgave the sins of both of them's parents all the way back to Adam and Eve. I broke the curses over this child, and I prayed that God would give this woman a baby. And this has been about 7 or 8 months ago, or maybe a year ago. He came to me the other day, and he said, I just can't believe it. I was with him. I was with him when his daughter called and said, I am pregnant. And I hesitated to bring this up to him, but I just couldn't bring myself to let it go.
Amen.
And so the next time I saw him, I said, I'm going to tell you why your daughter is pregnant. It's because I prayed over her, even after you told me that you didn't want her to be bothered with this, because she had gone through so much grief and had spent so much money. He said they had literally spent thousands and thousands of dollars trying to get pregnant again. And I said, she's pregnant because I, a faithful man, stepped in for her and prayed for her, and she is now going to have a child. And he said, oh, I hope it's a little girl. I said, it's going to be a little girl. The next day he told me it's going to be a little girl. They had a sonogram. You declare a thing and it shall be established. Candace said, wouldn't it be wonderful if they named this little girl Faith, because it was through my faith in God that this child is coming into their lives.
Amen.
And I would love to have them come out here. I don't know if they'd be open to hearing anything about Jesus, declare it. That's what
Amen.
I will do. I'll declare that they will come to know that they're having this blessing in their life because a man of faith prayed that they would have it, and they have it now.
Amen.
Thank you so much. And we stand on Psalms 91 every day. I pray it while I'm feeding my dogs in the morning, saying a prayer for them. I pray it over them, and I pray it over all, and they stand in rapt attention when I'm saying a prayer. And I have five dogs, and they just literally stand right there and just look at me. Some of them sit down, but while I say thank you in Jesus' name, they know it's ready for eat. But we do read. I read the Psalm 91 at least once or twice a day, and I always try to read it to Candace in the morning and declare God's safety for my household, that no harm would come near us, no evil would come near us every day, and for the police officers and firefighters and servicemen and women and school teachers and doctors and nurses and all others that put their lives on the line every day for the rest of us and all the children across the land. Thank you so much. I'm so very proud to be part of this church. Thank
Amen.
You.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God.
Guys, I'm just so blessed to be back. I have moved back to Texas. Thank you for I'm Pastor, happy Father's Day. I have learned so much from this ministry and just serving with this man. If one thing I've learned, because I'm a consultant, so my heart has always been, when you see something, fix it, make it better. But under pastor's leadership, I've learned to just do what I'm told and obey and trust. And I thank you for that, Pastor.
Amen.
Because of that, I asked the Lord with all my heart to send me to the nations. And about 6 or 7 weeks ago, I was in Amsterdam, Netherlands. And the Lord made me miss a plane on the way back home. I don't miss planes, but God made me miss a plane because he had one soul that he was after. And that one soul has light a fire amongst his friends. He got married to his longtime girlfriend in 3 weeks because he wanted to be right before the Lord. And what was so amazing is today, his parents gave their life to Jesus. Yes. And I'm so grateful. And then I said, Lord, send me again. And tomorrow I'm flying to Norway for a week to serve alongside another evangelist and just pray for the atheists and all the people in Norway who just don't believe God. If you guys can just keep me in your prayer, I'm going to be praying Psalm 91, Pastor, mm-hmm. and I'm going to be believing for souls to know the Lord and the heart of the Father. And then I'm going back to Amsterdam another week. The Lord hooked it up, and he paid for everything. When you have the heart to serve, the Lord makes a way. And I'm just praising God, and just that's the testimony. When you just seek God with all your heart, obey and trust the Lord, and he makes a way when it seems like there's no way. And I thank everyone here for just being a part of my life and just helping me grow in this walk
Amen.
With Jesus.
Praise
thank you.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hold it up close.
I'm Sherry Cornell. Glad to meet you.
Nice to meet you, young lady. Well, praise the Lord.
You enjoying your day?
You got to hold that up close.
I was talking to him. This was personal. Anyway, I'm glad to finally meet you. Okay?
Okay. Praise the Lord.
Hi. I'm Sherry Graham, and I'm here to give what God gave to me. He blessed me, and I'm here to tell it because I overcome by my testimony. And I am an overcomer, and I've given my life to Christ. I have surrendered all. And I thank God for it. And I thank him for a visitation that he gave me. Yesterday, I was in the closet with my head deep, digging down in the floor. And it was dark in there. And he said, accelerated time. You know how an ox should bring his head up out the hole? My head came up out the closet. What is accelerated time? To be pushed or moved in to another place. Change. Change. And instantly, change came. Knocked me off my feet. I couldn't think. I couldn't talk. I don't even know what happened to me. But I wasn't myself. What he did, everything that you guys was talking about and singing in this service is what he spoke to me. God know where to put you in a vineyard that I've never been in. I've heard about you. And I said, oh, okay, wait. I'll check it out one day. Whole year, it was time to check you out. The atmosphere in here, don't take it lightly. It's a gentle spirit that draws and it hugs you. That's God's love. I know that. It's something else that's not explainable. You can't bring it to word, but it's an inside wooing that's in the body. And I thank God for this atmosphere I'm passing through until God say further. But my testimony is accelerated timing. In his timing, he moved me forward, and he's moving me forward. Because one day I asked him, I want to know more about who you are. I asked you a lot of stuff. What do you want from me? And he told me, you. I surrender all. He's accelerating time for me because I've been saved, it's a cliche, a long time. I've been in the church a long time. I've been in the way of the Lord a long time. Yes, but I didn't know him. 60 years. I'll be 63 next month. I know him now. And I've learned it. Learned how to love him. And I learned that he loves me more than anybody else out here could. I love God. Do you love God?
Amen.
You know, if I could flip or do a dance, I would. But I can't. But my spirit man is cutting up. Yeah, I am a living witness. I'm a testimony of what God has done for me.
Wow. Praise the Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay. Have we got another one?
Reading Psalms 91, got to verse 14 where it says, therefore will I honor him because he knows my name. And so having a Dakes and Anointed Bible, I'll flip over to all the names of God, and I'm going through each one of them. And finally I said, Father, what name do you want me to call you? And he said, you just said it, Father.
All right.
What were we doing? What is
your
testimony
about? We were boating
about?
One time, and I got stung by a hornet.
Where?
Right in my armpit. And then I started crying. Then my dad prayed for me. And then the last minute we went to pick up a person, my armpit was particularly fine. I didn't feel any pain in my armpit, and I felt so good about it.
Right. So it didn't swell, and it didn't hurt, and we had a great day in the water.
Yeah.
And it was right there, and you could see where the hornet stung.
Yeah, it was.
Did not swell.
No pain or nothing.
Praise the Lord.
Amen, brother. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. That's what daddies are supposed to do right there.
Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. I am so blessed. I have a lot of testimonies. I mean, God is so great. Every day, millions of testimonies. I met Bill and Betty. What a blessing to me. What a wonderful privilege. I was out, and I was always thinking about the scripture that says, the whole word of God will cover the whole earth. And I was like, yes, I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of that. So I've been giving out, like, blessing cards, scriptures, and then one day I saw my friend Seal. She was running after a police officer and giving him something. I said, hey, what are you giving him? Give me one. So she gave me one of those Psalm 91 cards. I was like, oh, these are awesome. So I contacted Bill, and I went over and met him. And I took my evangelism partner, Jimmy. And I wish Jimmy was here today, but we're both so busy with all kinds of evangelism things. So Jimmy and me were so excited. We met Bill at Denny's, and I'll tell you, I was like walking on water after that because he told me all these faith-inspiring stories about Ian and Thurman and all these guys I had heard of but never met. And I was like, wow, we just want to live at Bill and Betty's house. This is fantastic. So then you got to go over and see these guys. They're terrific. And then they told me how much they love Thurman, and they're like, come out. And I'm like, okay, I'll take my motorcycle out there. It'll be a nice little ride. So I got to come here today. And then he said he can have all these CDs and stuff for free. And I was like, ooh, how many can I stick in the side of my motorcycle bag? It's about this big by this big. I thought, I'll listen to 10 rows, and then I'll give them out, and then I'll come back and listen to some more. But after I saw him, and he was talking about he had kneeled down and prayed for the joy of the Lord. And I was like, well, I don't have that joy of the Lord. So I thought, I'm going to do that. I'm going to kneel down and pray. I'm going to pray. So I prayed, and I prayed. And I didn't feel like anything changed. But all of a sudden, I do think something happened because I was always struggling with gluttony. I was like gulping my food down, and I've gained about 50 pounds since I met the Lord. I met the Lord, and he miraculously delivered me from homosexuality. Glory to God. Well, that was in 2001, but then I started turning to food, you know, like, and I would gulp it down. I wouldn't even taste it. It was like, I don't know why, but I know that this week that the Lord delivered me from gluttony when I listened to your YouTube video on about the joy of the Lord. And you said that God gave us these millions of taste buds, and I just started thanking God. It's about thankfulness. I'm thanking you for this taste bud. I'm going to slow down. And you and me, Jesus, I'm inviting you to taste this food with me. So I slow down. I taste the food. Said, oh, Jesus, it tastes so good. The next day, the meal was so incredible. It took so long eating it. And then, like, a couple days later, I went to prison ministry. The food there's not good. And I sat down with these prison ministries, and I ate so slowly, and I enjoyed every bite. The Lord has delivered me from gluttony and healed me.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Very good. Very good, very good, very good. Okay. Praise the Lord. We got another one here. Praise the Lord.
Well, this one's in progress, but it's really about Mark 11:23. It says, whatever we ask for, in prayer, believe we received it, we'll have it. And Thurman always talks about when he hits the word all, right? What's all mean? And all means different things for different people based on what you can believe in the word all. So we don't want all to be small. But anyway, so as some of y'all know, I spent time at the mall, and yes, it rhymes. I didn't plan that. And I have the opportunity to pray for a lot of people. Now, when I first started coming here and started trying to exercise that, I would go to the mall and I would sit there, okay, Lord, I'm here. Now, show me what I can do for you. And I'd spend a couple hours, and I'd go home. Well, just to say that, and amazing things have happened, but I just want to contrast that with this latest. So I go up there, and I'm reading The Power of Tongues, learning about the power of our tongues. I had lunch. And then I went off and did some walking, and then I went off to just a seat upstairs in the middle of kind of nowhere. Previously, I'd met the owner or the people that run the cleaning crew. And I'm sitting there, and so the cleaning lady comes by, and I'm just reading, and she's dusting off the little advertisement light and all this, and then she's over here, she's picking up gum wrappers on the side of me and all that, and then she goes, excuse me, sir, could you lift your legs up, you know? And so of all the places in the mall she had, she was like cleaning underneath me and all over me and all this, cleaning the seat, and so I just began to listen to her, and she began to share her stories and her whole life, and she said, and then she summarized it, she goes, you know, she goes, God has always answered everything I've asked of him. I mean, it's like hit her. And she began talking some more, and then she goes, you know, she has a family of 10. She's raising a family of 10. And I said, well, I had 4 sisters, so I'm halfway there to what you experienced. And she goes, she talked a little more. She goes, you know, all myself, she said, and all of her siblings have diabetes. And she goes, and my mother had diabetes, and she died from it. And I kept listening and listening, and then the Lord said, you know, now it's time to speak. And he said, so I said, have you ever thought to ask the Lord to heal you of diabetes? Because I believe he will if you ask him. And she goes, no, I never have. And I said, would it be important to you if you didn't have to put insulin in yourself every day? She goes, yes. And so we prayed and broke the curse and did the prayer of faith. And, you know, it's in progress. I haven't heard back from her, but I believe she's healed. Amen. Absolutely.
Amen. Amen.
Praise
Amen.
The Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's what you do. Okay, praise the Lord. Let me share something with you. Some of you were here last Sunday. Some of you were not. Just a little over, about 2 weeks ago, I had a pastor from Tennessee contact me. He wanted to tell me about his miracle. From Cleveland, Tennessee, that's where he's from. And he said, I've been a pastor for a long time. I'm 60 years old. And he said, I hardly ever see a miracle or a healing. And so he said, one of my other pastor friends from over North Carolina sent me a copy of Caitlin's miracle. He said, I listened to that, and I listened to it, and I listened to it, and I listened to it. And he said, it was amazing what you talked about on there. And he said, I've come to realize, brother, that our problem is in the church is we don't believe these promises. I said, that's what I've decided, that we don't believe the promises of God. I said, when you meet this God, that in fact, we talked about him last Sunday, the Ephesians 3:20 God. You know, if you haven't met that God, then you need to meet him. Because until you really have a meeting with him, you really don't know anything about God. But when you meet him and you start talking to him and he starts talking to you, it's like, in fact, the very first thing that he, as we talked, he told me the story, and which I've told a couple of times, which we'll go through it right quick. He was asked to speak at another church on Easter Sunday, sunrise service. And he started over there to that town, which is about 60 miles from where he lives in his church. And as he got a few miles away from home, he ran over a great big skunk. And he said that skunk fumed, came inside the car. He said it was terrible. He said I couldn't hardly breathe. My eyes were watering. And I thought, my Lord, what am I going to do? There's no way I can go back home and take a bath and change clothes and get another car. He said, I've got to have some help. He said, Thurman, when I asked the Lord, I got to have some help, it's like he just come and sat down in a seat right beside me and started talking to me. He says, Robert, you have listened to my son Thurman Scrivener's teaching on how I raised his granddaughter from the dead 38 times. Now see, it's amazing. We don't realize what God is doing, but he's counting the things you're doing. You know, he must be a really good engineer, because only engineers count everything. Only engineers count everything. I mean, we used to be driving down the road, you know. I mean, I'd be driving down the road, and one of my children or my wife would say, you know, look at those columns out there. I said, yeah, there's 18 of them. She said, hey, how do you know that? I said, I count them every time I go by. They said, are you kidding me? I says, no, I just count things. I've always done that. So I don't know. I don't know why. Maybe it's just an engineering brain. I don't know. But I now beginning to realize that God is the best engineer that there is anywhere. Because he had remembered when he told Robert that he had listened to the teaching that I'd made on my granddaughter. He said, you've listened to that, Robert, 38 times. Wow. He said, so since I am a God that does not show any favoritism, if I did all those wonderful things for my son, Thurman Scrivener, for his granddaughter, what do you need? So he said, Lord, I need you to do away with this skunk smell so I can get there and not have the skunk smell all over me. And then, so the Lord told him, said, okay, just concentrate on me. Focus on me. So he said, I focused and concentrated on the Lord for the next 60 miles. And said, the skunk smell kept getting lighter and lighter and lighter. He said, I went into the church parking lot. And by the time I got into the parking lot, there was not a smell of that skunk nowhere on my car or on me, nowhere. So anyway, he said, I knew I'd seen God do an awesome thing. He said, I had not had many answers to prayer, but said, when I was listening to you, you get answers to prayer all the time. And so he said, I want to be like that, God. I want to see you do some miracles, Lord. Now that's a dangerous prayer to pray. Because if you ask him to let you see some miracles, what do you think he's going to let you do? Seize the miracles. So anyway, he said that I'd prayed and asked the Lord, Lord, I want to see some miracles. So he said the next Thursday night, we had prayer meeting. I said after prayer meeting was over on Thursday night, we all went home and said, my wife and I got about three or four minutes away from the church when one of my deacons called me and says, Pastor, I just missed a culvert here at the church, and I ran off into the ditch there and said, I'm okay, but my car has suffered extensive damage. And he said, well, we'll be right back. We'll come back, see if we can help you. So he said, I turned around, we went back up there and said he had missed a culvert and drove right off the end of that thing and hit the wall, the ditch on the other side, tore the whole front end of his car up. And then when it locked in at the culvert, it bent the back of the car up. So he said, this car is totally destroyed. There's no two ways about it. So he said, I'm back looking at it, and I thought, wow, we've got to have at least two wreckers to get this car out of this ditch. Then he said, Lord, we got to have some help. Again, be careful what you ask for. Remember, when you use Lord, we got to have some help. What do you think he's going to do, Tony? He's going to help you, of course. And so he said, all of a sudden, I looked up, and here come a most beautiful white pickup truck, a wrecker, whatever it was, a white set of white truck, the most beautiful white truck I've ever seen in my life. And he said, this guy pulled up and gets out and walks up here and says, I said, who are you, sir? He said, I was sent to help you. He said, well, you look like you need some help, all right. You got a car in the ditch there. So he says, you want to get it out of there, right? And he said, yes, we want to get that out of there. So he said, this guy, whoever he was, he walks over into the ditch. Here's the ditch. Let's say this is the ditch right here, and here's a wall here. One end of the car stuck in this way. The other end fell off, bent up over here. He walks up to the driver's side of the car right here and grabs the car right here and right here and picks the car up like a toy. Turns around, sets it down on the road, and he said, me and two other young men that were standing there, said we were sitting there watching, and I turned to one of them boys, or both them boys, and I said, boys, did y'all see what I just saw? Well, Pastor, we don't know what you saw, but we think we saw a man pick up a car and set it on the road. He said, that's what I saw too. Now then, everybody that questions that, they need to know the Ephesians 3:20 God, because you don't know him. You don't know him yet. So, but anyway, he picked up the car and set it down on the road. And then he said, okay, the car's good to go. And he said, but sir, the car's tore all to pieces. He said, you didn't look at the car very good. Go look at it. So he said, I walked around there and looked at this car, and where it had been tore all to pieces at the front bumper and tore all to pieces at the back and bent up like this and everything else. He said, I walked around that car and looked at that car, and there was not one single mark or scratch nowhere on that car.
Right.
Now, there's some people will tell you, some people say Thurman had he had too many somethings to drink last night. Or he's lost his mind. But let me tell you what, you know, you haven't met the God that I've met. You haven't met this Ephesians 3:20 God. One of y'all quote to me, what does Ephesians 3:20 say? I can do what? In fact, let's put it on the board, and I'd like for y'all to read it. Ephesians 3:20. Okay, now then, so if we see all of this stuff and we see this scripture and he happens to be our God, should we ever have a problem?
No.
No, I mean, you know, but if you don't ask, you don't get something. So anyway, this truck, the pastor, he told me, he said, Thurman, it was absolutely unbelievable. The truck, the car, I mean, did not have a scratch nowhere. And so he said, I was just amazed, but I'd been asking God, God, let me see some miracles. I want to see some miracles. And so, boy, you talk about letting him see some miracles. He's showing him some. So anyway, the record driver told him, he said, okay, sir, your car is fine. You can go home. I'll follow you. Make sure that you have no more troubles getting home. And he said that truck pulled in behind that car, and that deacon drove that car home. He said when he got home, he pulled into the driveway, and that deacon said, as soon as I pulled into the driveway and looked, he said the lights went out on that truck was gone. It was not there no more. Now, where did that truck come from? You think maybe there might be a force out there of some kind that you can't see unless he wants you to see him? He's out there, isn't he, brother? So then the next night, or the next Thursday, at prayer meeting, he says, there's a lady. He said, you know, folks, I begin to realize that there's a God out here that's here in this church service. And he said, he does things for us, and he wants to do things for us, and we don't even know he's here. So he said, after listening to Pastor Thurman teaching 38 times on Caitlin's miracle, I begin to believe that with God, just like he says, ain't nothing impossible. Right, Mary? Ain't nothing impossible with God. Nothing is impossible. Nothing's even close to being hard for God. And you've got to meet this Ephesians 3:20 God. You got to know who he is. And so anyway, he said that the next Thursday night when we had prayer meeting, I told everybody, I said, is there any... He said, I've never done this before. But said, I said, is there anybody here that's got any pain or sickness in your body? I'm ready to pray for you. Now, wait a minute. We're stepping out on some thin ice here. And this lady stands up and said, I've had back pain for 13 years. He said, woman, come up here. The God I know will heal you.
Amen.
Do you hear any faith in that?
Oh, yeah.
He's beginning to meet this God, isn't he?
Yes.
So anybody said, I went back there and I just laid my hands on this woman that had this back pain for 13 years. We know what that's like, don't we, Michael? And that woman and that pastor prayed for that woman. And he said, Thurman, I hadn't hardly opened my mouth and started praying when she screamed, my pain is all gone.
Woo-hoo!
the pastor has met this God. Well, this last Thursday, actually, yeah, Thursday night after church, this pastor's wife had a dream. And he called me, and actually he called and talked to Jeff. He talked to Jeff, I guess it was Friday morning, was whenever when he called, and Jeff and him got together. He said, "My wife had a dream last night. Woke up crying." She said, "I had just had a dream about Pastor Thurman." And she said, "God just showed me that he's fixing to promote Pastor Thurman to a new level of faith. And he's going to start praying for people. He's going to start praying for people with arms and legs missing, and I'm going to grow them back for him." Wow. Am I ready for that God to show up? He's here today. I mean, he's here today. And then yesterday morning, after we had that last week, just a week ago, whenever that pastor's wife had that dream and called us and said we were going to start praying for the sick and praying for people with arms and legs missing, like these wounded warriors, and that arms and legs were going to grow back, God is going to do, he said, "Thurman, obviously God is fixing to use you and your ministry beyond our wildest dreams." Yesterday morning, or Saturday morning, wasn't it? Yeah, Saturday morning, Cheryl and I was still in bed, and the phone rang, and it was a pastor from Iowa. In fact, 6 years ago, he was here at a meeting in Dallas, and Cheryl and I went with them to the meeting. And while we were there, this pastor told me, said, "By the way, Thurman, the Lord just spoke to me and told me he's fixing to bring an Assembly of God pastor from California to be a part of your ministry." I said, "Oh, that's nice. I didn't think I needed anybody," but I said, "Okay." And then I thought, well, let's see if he brings me another pastor. That's another salary. So I thought, well, I don't know what I'm going to do about that. And then he spoke again. He said, "Oh, by the way, the Lord just spoke to me and told me he's going to pay you enough, send you enough extra money where you can pay him too." And I thought, well, I bet he'd be nice with that. Everybody needs a little money, don't they? So everything he said, in fact, Jeff, I got tickled to Jeff after he came here. He said he was sitting out there at California, wherever there was, at some church or wherever, maybe over a Coke. I don't know where he was. But there's somewhere, and he was talking about, you know, "I'm fixing to go to Texas and be a part of a Living Savior Church over there." And they said, "Well, have you called them, made an appointment with them and everything?" He says, "No." He said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, God told me to go, so I know I'm supposed to go." They said, "Well, don't you think it might be a good idea if you call them instead of just showing up? They might not let you work for them." He said, "Yeah, I guess it would be." So on Tuesday, I had the guy, the prophet, talk to me on Friday. The next Tuesday, I got a phone call from an Assembly of God preacher from California that said the Lord spoke to me and told me to come be a part of your ministry. What do you think I did? That's what I said. Come on. I said, "You got enough money to get here?" He said, "I do." I said, "Okay, well, come on." And so Jeff's been here 6 years. Now, this same pastor that gave that prophecy that came to pass exactly called us Saturday morning and said he was sleeping. Yeah, he saw the ark in front of his church. I mean, it was the ark. Do you know the ark's 450 feet long?
Yeah.
It's a big boat. It ain't no little bitty boat. It's a big boat. But it was in front of his church. And he said, "I saw that ark in front of my church." And then he said, "I kind of dozed off and I'm laying there and all of a sudden I hear this bang." He said, "I jumped up and said, okay, God, what's going on?" And they said, "The Lord told me to look outside." He said, "I looked outside and said the door on the ark had just fell open and hit the ground. And Thurman, you were standing right at the end of the ark waiting to bring the people in." He said, "Now, I don't know what this means, but," he said, "obviously God is fixing to do something in your ministry out of this world."
Amen.
Now then, with those kind of things that's going to happen with our church, are you ready?
Amen.
Are you ready for the Ephesians 3:20 God? In other words, do you know, the last few minutes and what I've told y'all, I believe that this church is ready. I believe God has prepared y'all. I'm going to tell you, I've been in a lot of churches in my life, and I've been around a lot of pastors in my life, but I've never really seen one that really believes what the Word says. I hate to say that, but I've never met a pastor outside of this church that really believes every promise in God's Word. They explain it away. I mean, I listened to a man the other night. I love him with all my heart. I've sat and talked to him in his office, but I heard him say the other night, there's some people out there that'll tell you that God will put sickness on you. He said, don't believe that. I thought to myself, well, brother, we're going to have to disagree on that because God's in charge of everything. You know, it is a mouthful for somebody to have to swallow that the God that we serve is also the God that will kill you. He will bless you. He will raise you up or he'll take you down. But he's God and he's in charge. Now then, so there were some strange things happened a year ago. When I got the first vision about a year ago, I think Cheryl said it was in April or something, I got a vision of this thing happening, and this is the first time I saw this, and praying for people and arms and legs coming back on. I didn't tell y'all a lot about that back in those days because I just didn't, but I'm going to talk about it just a little because I think we may be in for the biggest event that we've ever experienced by far. I think God is fixing to show up, and I think he's going to do things. And you got to know, if he shows up, you got to, there's two words you got to take out of your vocabulary. I don't believe. You got to be able to know that your God is the Ephesians 3:20 God. Somebody said something the other night. I said, as we're talking about this, we're talking about how are we going to get these people here? And how are we going to get these guys that are up there in New York City or whatever that's had their legs and arms shot off? How in the world are we going to get all of them together? And they're talking about all kinds of different things that get it done. I said, and none of those right. So what do you mean? I said, let's just do it real simple. Let's just say, God, everyone that you want a new arm or leg on, you translate them from where they are to right here, right now. Translate them. That's all. So you believe he can do that? Oh, my goodness gracious alive. Translate everybody. Hey, when you start wiggling, whooshing, I say, you need to get out of my sight. You need to get away. You're thinking negative. You can't think negative and get this Ephesians 3:20 God to show up. You know, he is an awesome, mighty God. And, you know, there's no telling the way we may have to think. I think about what happens to us, and I see us all the time, and I'm included. Now, I'm no different than you are. But I see things happen, and when I see something happen, and I think, wow, that couldn't possibly happen. I mean, we think like that. I mean, we have I guarantee the average one of us, including me, if you run outside and you're in a hurry to go somewhere, and all of a sudden you got two flat tires on your car, very few people say, Lord, praise you, thank you that I got two flat tires. Now I need to be at that place over yonder in 10 minutes, so translate me over there. You're out there fussing, oh God, here you want me to do this. Now, I got 15 minutes to be there, and there ain't no way I can get there. There ain't nobody get me there in 10 minutes. Not even you, God, can get me there in 10 minutes. See, you don't know him, do you? No. I mean, now's a good time to tell Carrie's story again. You know, I mean, I think about when Carrie and her husband went down to Florida to pray for the relative. I mean, when Miss Carrie walked in that room and she hears faith every Sunday, she walks in that room, she looks at that relative, and boy, do they look bad. They're on hospice. And she looks down and her faith just falls. And the Lord's watching her. He's watching her real close. And she don't say anything, I don't think, but he sees what she's thinking. He says, Carrie, remember, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead after he'd been dead 4 days. This woman's still alive. All you got to do is just believe. You see what I mean? But when you walk up to somebody that's all to pieces, you know, they're on hospice, and I mean, they're it's over. I mean, I've walked into hospitals with people. I mean, I've seen them. You know, I've seen their bodies, you know, just falling apart. I've seen all kinds of stuff like that. And as a rule, most of us can't even think about praying for those people. It ain't going to do no good to pray for them. They ain't going to make it no way. Have you ever thought like that? Sure, because you don't know the Ephesians 3:20 God. But that's just like what Dave and Cheryl said a while ago. Anytime we have somebody to pray for, I always ask, Lord, do you want me to pray for this person? Do you want me to pray for this person here? Do you want me to go to there and pray for this person? What do you want me to do? And if he says, I want you to go and pray for the person. And I'll say, okay, I'll send Jeff. You know, I'll send Jeff up there, just like little Gideon. When little Gideon had 30-something pounds of liquid in his kidneys, and the doctor said, it's over. Now, you look at this little tiny boy, 2.5 years old, you know, about so tall, and he's got all his liquid in his stomach. It's sticking out this far. I may be exaggerating a little, but it's not bad. I mean, he looks awful. And the finest doctors say, it's over, it's over, it's over. He's got 2 or 3 weeks left, and he will decease. There's nothing can be done. Well, you got to know the Ephesians 3:20 God. If you know him, you tell Jeff. Jeff, call him, talk to him, see what they think, see what they say. And then, if you feel led with me to go pray for this boy, we'll send you to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, or wherever it was. And so Jeff come back and said, yep, I think we ought to go. I said, okay, sure, buy him an airplane ticket and get him up there. And he goes up there and he finds the problem, he finds the sin, gets everybody to repent of sin, prays the prayer of faith, and 3 hours, wasn't it? Yeah, he immediately started losing weight. But within like 3 hours, he was down to normal size. He's totally out of danger. But you know, when you go to a place like that and you see a child like that in that kind of condition, you know, just like the other day, Jeff was talking to a couple from Sweden. They have a Down syndrome child. How many of you know there's no hope for a Down syndrome child in the world? In the world, there's no hope. But this Down syndrome child that Jeff, we had that they called in and we found their problems. We found the sins. We got every. Now, this child, he can't talk at all. Can't talk at all. He can't hardly see at all. He has 2700 vision, so he's technically blind. After getting the parent's sin taken care of, and everybody repenting of sin, and praying the prayer of faith for the child, within 4 to 6 months, the child could see 20/20. And then, in just a little bit longer, the child was talking and talking normal. Within a year, the child is back in school and caught up, and he's doing everything normal like a 12-year-old child. When this couple from Sweden heard this testimony, what do you think that did to them? There is hope. It's God. There may not be, mankind may not be able to help us, but Jesus Christ, the Ephesians 3:20 God, he can help us. And so they brought their two little daughters, and they flew from Sweden to here to the Last Healing School. And then Friday, we stayed with them for 2 or 3 more hours, and we talked about sin. They had gotten rid of all sin. And you talk about touching a couple's heart to get rid of sin and to walk holy before God. They are eat up with the fact that we want to walk holy before God because we're sons and daughters of God. And as they do that, it'll be just like that other one. The other one that Jeff, that we prayed for, that had 2700 vision. And if we stand on God's word and do what God says, and he tells, just like, in fact, that couple from Sweden, they came to see us when we were in Norway. And he said, you prayed for our children over there in Norway. He said, we didn't know all the things we know now. But he said, you prayed for our children in Norway. And the one thing I remember you said, whatever you do, don't never give up. Continue to walk holy before God. Continue to stand on the promises of God. Continue to put God first. And if you will put God first and pray and believe, the day will come when your children will all be normal. No, I take that back. I don't want them to be normal. I want them to be supernatural. You know, I want them to be supernatural. I want them to be like Jenna's mama. When we pray for so many people with eczema, so many of them, that some of them get healed almost instantly. Some of them takes a week or a month or whatever. Some of them takes a little longer. But just like Jenna's mother, when we found the sin, we had prayed for that little girl, no telling how many times, with no results. For a year and a half, we had prayed with no results. Now, I'm telling you, when you find a team of people like here at this place that will stand in the gap and continue to pray and look for the problem of a little child for a year and a half, you found somebody that's dedicated to God. They want to see the child healed, don't they? But that's what we're here for. We want to see the children healed. So, but that mother, I was so amazed that day whenever we found the sin and she repented of the sin. I said, now we can pray the prayer of faith, and I guarantee your little daughter will be healed. She said, Pastor, I don't want my daughter to be healed. I said, what are you talking about? She said, you know, you in the course of all this, you've taught us that we can ask God for anything and that he can do anything. So I said, well, what do you want? She said, I want to take John 14, 13, and 14, and I want to stand on that for my baby, a brand new coat of skin with no scars. Now, this woman had met the Ephesians 3:20 God. I mean, I don't see very many people that call us that have that kind of faith. Do you?
No.
No, very few. But she did. And by standing by faith after repenting of sin and touching the hand of God, 3 weeks later, or 2 weeks later, yeah, 2 weeks later, little Jenna was completely healed without a scar or a mark nowhere on her body. And the other day when we got that beautiful letter from her mother, it says, Pastor, Jenna is so beautiful. Her skin is just glowing. So beautiful. You know what? One of these days, I'm hoping in the not too distant future, I would like to buy, maybe if I could, her mother, her daddy, and Jenna a ticket and have them come down here, and I'd like to video their testimony and let them tell their story. Wouldn't you like to hear that? I think it would be great. I'm going to start doing more of that, having people tell their own testimony. It's one thing to hear me tell these stories, but you know, y'all know I'm telling you the truth. But you know, some of the world out there thinks I've gone crazy. You know, we get those kind of things all the time. We get people, you know, I mean, if anybody's listening today on the internet or whatever, and you don't understand the things that I do, well, just be aware that when I was 10 or 20 years younger, I didn't believe these things either. I mean, I didn't know that. You know, I can remember the first time I heard a guy on TBN talking about sin and sickness being directly related. I listened to a few minutes of that, and I said, turn that guy off. He's crazy. How dare that man think that God put sickness on you? Now I teach the same thing, you know, but I've got the revelation. I didn't have it back in those days. But, you know, if people are listening and they don't fully understand what I teach, don't get mad at me. Don't take an offense. Just get back in the Word and study. Do what I did. Study the Word of God and learn how to be that overcomer. Because let me tell you, until you meet the Ephesians 3:20 God and you see what he can do, you're not equipped to go out there, really, and do any really great big things for God. The average person today does not believe these promises of God. In fact, I can remember that the first time I prayed for somebody, let's go to John 20:23. I can remember. I do remember. John 20:23. The enemy's doing everything he can to keep me from putting out the truth. John 20:23. I remember the first time I taught this. Okay, now the first Sunday that I taught that in church, almost nobody said a word. But the next Sunday, there were several of them come back and said, oh, I went and talked to my pastor about what you taught him, John 20:23. And he says, you are crazy. How many of y'all think I'm crazy now? Jerry thinks I'm crazy. Jerry said he knows I'm crazy. I get so tickled to Jerry when they come to my first Bible study class, and they went home that afternoon, and I called them to talk to them, and I talked to him an hour, I guess a long time. And his wife said, who in the world were you on the phone with so long? And he said, oh, it was that Bible study teacher that we went to his class this morning. She said, what did he say? He said, I ain't telling you. You ain't going to believe this. I said, this guy's crazy. Now he's found out I really am crazy, right, Jerry? I was telling the testimony about Ed Brock. That was, that was the very first healing of terminal cancer that I ever saw. But just think, when the doctors, best doctors in the world, MD Anderson, Mayo Clinic, all those places, all tell you that we opened you up and looked at you, and you have stage 4 lymphoma terminal cancer in every organ of your body, there is absolutely no hope. In a few weeks, you will be dead. What does people do? I was just like all the rest of us. When I walked down that hallway, leaving there after I prayed for her, I looked up and I said, Lord, you didn't hear what she said. She said he has terminal cancer. I didn't know the Ephesians 3:20 God back in those days. But every one of you in this room have been right there with me. Every one of you have been to a place where you don't know him. You thought you knew him, but you didn't have a clue who he was. But anyway, I kept on and kept on talking to, going to see Ed and everything else. And I finally, when I went to his house, after we find out we can remit sins. In other words, some people say, you know, that's not true. You cannot remit sin. But John 14:12. That Jesus could remit sin. He said he could forgive sin. So that you will know that I, the Son of God, have a power on earth to forgive sin. He said, get up and walk. And so if he can forgive sin, then John 14:12, what does John 14:12 say? What does verily, verily mean? Nobody, he's trying to tell you he can't lie to you, right? What did he say there, Tony?
So.
Now, that's a pretty big mouthful, isn't it, Tony? We're talking about the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and God of God, Jesus Christ. Is that who we're talking about? And he made the statement to you and me, and it hadn't been too many years ago when me and you both didn't believe that. Because when he said, I tell you the truth, he who believes in me, now we meet that. We believe in him, don't we? He's my Lord, he's your Lord. But he says, if we are his sons, not only can we do what he done, greater things. Is that what he said? Right. Most people don't believe that. You know, when you say, yeah, I believe the Bible, and then you say, well, let's see if you can believe this. And you turn over there and you read it, and you say, well, what do you think? Oh, yeah, that means what it says. I said, well, what does that mean to you? Well, he says, greater things shall we do. I said, well, so what did Jesus do? Well, he controlled the storms. Yep. Do you think you can control the storm? Thurman, who do you think I am, God? Is that the way we live? Yeah, you talk to somebody someday. You say, do you believe this book? Oh, yeah, I believe this book. Guarantee I believe this book. Y'all talk to people all over the place out there. And when you try to share some of these kind of things with them, some of them, let me get away from this guy. Let me get away from Scott. Scott, I thought, I've got a problem with you now. You all of a sudden, you think you're God. It's just like a young boy sent me an email the other day. He said, you know, you have gone just as crazy as Kenneth Copeland. He said, Kenneth Copeland thinks he's God. I thought to myself, this young man hasn't studied the Scripture. Because the Scripture clearly says that we are sons of God, which makes us God on the earth. That's why Jesus said that not only can you do what I did, but greater things. And he said, I've done shall you do in my name. We're supposed to be able to raise the dead. And you know what keeps us? You know what keeps us from raising the dead?
Unbelief.
Unbelief. That's exactly right. I remember after I raised my first man from the dead, the first one, when this guy got raised from the dead, I was awestruck that he got raised from the dead. I don't even know how God did that, but he did it somehow where that I was in a dead sleep. And when I woke up and they told me the boy was dead, I said, let's pray for him. And of course, the guy on the other line, he says, Thurman, it's too late. He's been dead over a half hour. I said, it's never too late. He said, Thurman, it's impossible. Forget it. I said, there ain't nothing impossible with God. And so I prayed and rebuked the devil. And the man coughed and started breathing again. He says, my God, we got a heartbeat, a pulse. I said, what are you going to do with him? He said, I'm going to take him to the hospital in Irving. I said, okay, good. And I get up, and I was right over here in my house. I got up and drove all the way to Irving from here. When I got there, I walked in at 5 o'clock in the morning. I walked up and I said, where's so-and-so? And they said, well, he's in room 13. I said, okay, so I said, how's he doing? And he said, well, he'd been better off, he'd have stayed dead. This was a doctor I'm talking to. I said, what do you mean he'd have been better off, he'd have stayed dead? He said, well, he had no heartbeat or no pulse, according to the paramedics, for about a half hour. He said he had no oxygen to his brain. He said he'd be a vegetable. I said, Doc, do you see those hands? And he says, yes. I said, there's a healing power of Jesus in those hands. Did Jesus tell us to lay hands on the sick and they'll get well?
Yes.
So the church don't believe that. If the church believed that, we'd be doing that more, wouldn't we, Tony?
Yes.
If we really believe that, I mean, if somebody got sick, if God were to get sick, what's the first thing you'd do?
Lay hands
on him, I guarantee. I mean, that's the only thing to do, right?
That's it.
You definitely don't call 911.
No,
you pray.
No.
It's amazing how that we don't believe this book. You know, if we get to where we know the Ephesians 3:20 God, we get to where we know his promises are yes and amen. And the more you get that in your heart, son, I can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all you can think or imagine. Do you believe that, son? Yes, Lord. He said, well, then why don't you do something? Why don't you pray for somebody? Why don't you touch somebody? If you really believe that God is God, but until you have that meeting with this Ephesians 3:20 God, and you start praying for him, just like I was with Ed Brock. I mean, that was my first one, and that was something. But after we got him healed, that was a big boost for me, but it still wasn't near enough for me to jump out there and start doing some wild things. But after I raised this one man from the dead in the name of Jesus, and whenever I told him, I said, the healing power of Jesus is in those hands. I'm sure that guy was a Christian. He was such a nice guy. But when I made that statement, you know, he just kind of rolled his eyes. And did he believe the word?
No,
he didn't believe the word. He did not believe nothing about God's word. Yeah, he probably was a Christian. He probably went to a good church somewhere. But nobody ever taught him that he could do these things. Nobody ever taught you that this book means what it says. But it does, doesn't it, Scott?
It does.
If we don't believe, you won't ever see the glory of God. But when you start stepping out in faith, if you step out and touch somebody one time and nothing happens, don't give up. When you see somebody else, you do it. And if after you've done it 1, 2, 3, 4, 500 times, if you will keep going and keep reading that book, I guarantee one of these days your faith level is going to get there. And you're going to be walking through the airport or to the grocery store or whatever, and you're going to see something, and you're going to pray for somebody, and then you're going to say, I guarantee it's done. And what's going to happen?
It's done.
That's right. And then don't be like me with the barb of the warts. The next week when he called me and told me the wart was all gone, and I said, you don't mean it. See how much faith I had, don't you? Well, we don't want to live there, do we? No, we don't want to live there. Whenever they call and say, well, it hasn't happened yet, I want you to be ready to say, but don't give up. It will happen, I guarantee, because I prayed for you. I have no idea how many times Cheryl and I pray for people and answer. We end our prayer. We have prayed, we've remitted your sins, we're standing on Scripture, so therefore it is done. But I've got this terrible kidney stone. It is done. Don't give up. And like that one, 3 hours. We had one like that this week. And that's just like over here at the Baptist church one night. Daryl Durant, he was a deacon at the Baptist church, right over here in Justin. Fine young man. I love the guy. He went to deacon's meeting or the church meeting that Wednesday night. And I asked, I said, where's Daryl? He's always here. One of them said, well, he's got a kidney stone. And he's in excruciating pain. I said, is he in the hospital? They said, no. They took him to the hospital and they said, there's not anything they can do. They just have to, they give him a strainer, hoping that he'll be able to pass it before too long. I said, okay. So anyway, we had a Wednesday night prayer meeting. Now, usually we don't pray for people's healing at a Wednesday night prayer meeting. We pray, but not very powerful. So anyway, whenever it come time to pray that night, I said, Lord, I want to take the scripture. I want to take Matthew 18:19. And I said, by taking the scripture of Matthew 18:19, your word says that if two of us on earth agree about anything, it's done. So I said, Father, I want to be in agreement with somebody in this room. I don't know who that is, but somebody, I want somebody to be in agreement with me according to your word, that tonight, in a few minutes after this meeting's over, that Daryl will pass that kidney stone in the name of Jesus. I said, Lord, thank you, it's done. And there was probably 20 or 25 people at that church service that night, and we got down to the last man to pray was an old retired Baptist preacher. And nobody had said a word to be in agreement with me, not nobody. I thought, now then, I'm down to the last person, and it's a retired Baptist preacher, and he's... And that's all I needed. That's all I needed. But I was just about ready to lose my faith, I'll tell you for sure. Because I thought if one of these other persons had prayed, maybe it would have happened. But him, he's not going to pray like that. But all of a sudden, he was the last man to pray. And he said, Lord, I want to be in agreement with Thurman's prayer. Woo, that's what I did. I jumped up and said, glory to God, there's my answer. I didn't say nothing out loud, of course, you know, I didn't want to stir up. I didn't want nobody to think I was completely off my rocker. So anyway, I did kind of say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. You ever done that yourself? You know, when somebody, yes, Lord, I got it. It's done. And he agreed with me. He said, I want to agree with Thurman's prayer for Daryl Durant that he'll pass that kidney stone. Yes, Lord, it's done. So anyway, I come home that night after it was over, and my wife, she stayed up there. She was helping with the nursery. So I come on home, and I come home, and I got home, and the phone rang. Just as I walked in the door, and it was his wife. She said, Thurman, this is Cindy. I said, I need to talk to Betty. He said, I missed her tonight at church, but I got to tell her something. I said, well, she's still up there. I said, she said, well, I think she's already gone. I said, well, if she is, when she gets home, I'll tell her to call you. I said, by the way, how's Daryl? She said, well, he's laying here at home. She was at home. She said, he's laying here, and he's in excruciating pain. And I said, well, he's fixing to pass that kidney stone. She said, I hope so. I said, no, I ain't hoping so. I said, I'm standing by faith. I said, me and the pastor so-and-so agreed tonight. I said, I guarantee he's going to pass that kidney stone. And she says, wow. She says, let me let you talk to Daryl a second. So she handed him the phone, and I said, Daryl, guarantee you're going to pass that stone because me and Pastor so-and-so prayed and agreed that according to Matthew 18:19, the prayer of agreement, that you're going to pass that kidney stone. He said, wow, you sure do sound sure of yourself. I said, I'm only as sure as the word is. I said, the word says we can have it. It's done. We prayed in faith. It's done. I said, all I want you to do is praise the Lord. He said, okay, okay. So he handed the phone back to Cindy, and I said, I'll have Betty call you when she gets home. I hung up the phone, and just about 5 minutes later, Cindy called back. She said, Thurman, I told Daryl for what you said, and he said, wow, Thurman was wild, wasn't he? She said, he sounded like it's a done deal. So he says, let me have that strainer. I'm going in the bathroom and see if I can pass that stone. He goes in there and puts that stone in there, and that thing just went, come right out, no pain, no nothing. Dinging, hit that little cup that he was working in, and that thing was dinging. And he said, wow, praise God. I said, well, all you got to do, Daryl, is believe. He said, thank you, Thurman. I said, no, 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 Daryl, don't dare say thank you, Thurman. Say thank you, Jesus. I said, I didn't do nothing but pray. Jesus is the one that took it out. He said, well, I never seen anything like that. Now, let me tell you, folks, if we believe, and we know the Ephesians 3:20 God, just like Tony. I like to tell Tony's story when he got his arm broke that time, his shoulder, whatever it was. He had never heard stuff like he'd been hearing at this church. You would have never been able to stand by faith on that shoulder without the knowledge you'd gained here, right?
That's right.
But by hearing it and knowing the word and going home and checking it out, saying, you know what Thurman said, ain't crazy. It's written in the Bible. And God ain't crazy, is he, Tony? Sometimes we act like he is, but he's not. And Tony stood, and God healed his shoulder completely, totally. It took about 2 or 3 months, I think, whatever. But you hadn't had no complication, no issues, no nothing with that arm, have you, Tony?
No pain.
And didn't you like the price? If you're like me, I really love the price. One thing God does, he never does charge us to fix us, does he?
No.
He paid for it on the cross. It's a done deal. So, Lord, we thank you. Praise God. Wow. Oh, yeah, that's right. I was fixing to tell you all before we quit today. I'm going to tell you that. The Lord showed me in that vision or that dream or whatever it was I had several months ago, a year ago, that he was going to increase my anointing to the point that I could pray for the wounded warriors and see arms and legs grow back. He gave me that dream at night. I saw that about a year ago, maybe a little over a year ago. I didn't tell a lot of people because that's pretty wild. You know, you start telling people you're going to pray for people that's got arms missing and they're going to grow back. They think, nah, you got a problem here. But I know the Ephesians 3:20 God, and I know he can do that. Don't y'all know that?
Yes.
Yes, he can. So anyway, I believe that he could do that. So anyway, as the Lord began to show me these things, he said, you know, I'm going to put you on secular TV. You're going to be on the 6 o'clock news. You're going to be telling people, you know, they're going to see you on the news. Now, I don't know how he's going to do that, but he can do that. You know, I mean, I don't have to be there. I could be standing right here in this church, and he put me on the 6 o'clock news. You know God can do that? Yeah, there ain't nothing hard for him. But anyway, some of the things that was, he said, you're going to tell this on the 6 o'clock news and 10 o'clock news, and you're going to tell people that if you want an arm or a leg or anything, a new organ in your body, whatever's wrong with you, if you want to be healed, all you need to do is come to the Living Savior Church, and Jesus Christ will heal you. And so there's been a lot of people that's come to this church that got healed. Y'all know that? A lot of people, but that's only a drop in the bucket compared to what he wants to do. He said, there's only one thing I'm going to require before you pray for the people. I said, what's that, Lord? I'm at, it's either a dream or whatever. I don't know. I don't know how. I'm feeling all. I feel like I'm awake, but I feel like I'm asleep. And I'm hearing and seeing all this. And he said, one thing I want you to do, before you pray for the people or actually touch them, all I'm going to ask you to do is touch them. He said, I don't want you to teach anything. I don't want you to do this. I want you to bring people in to take the pews out of your church or whatever and have a line of people coming in, and you walk up and just touch them. And he said, before you touch them, I want you to have a document for them to sign. I want them to sign a document that says, I, Thurman Scrivener, promise that once I have had hands laid on me and I got healed, that I will serve you, Lord, me and my family. We will serve you forever. We will put you first. We will go to church. We will tithe. Yes. Now, are these things he said for us to do anyway?
Yes.
Yeah, he was, but he's been merciful. But I said, Lord, what if they come and what if they sign this? And then what if they don't fulfill that obligation? Because some people, do you know how people are? All I got to do is sign this and I get two new legs? I'll sign anything. I'll do anything. But did you hear what I said? You're supposed to serve God from now on. You're supposed to put him first. Did he say that in his word anyway? Did he say we're to have no other gods before him? We're to put nothing from nothing before God? Did he say that? Of course he did. But he's merciful. And so and I said, well, Lord, what if they say they will, and then they turn their back on you and they quit serving you? He said, I will give them 6 months. He said, everybody that signs one of those documents that does not continue to serve me, if they're not serving me within 6 months after they make that documentation, he said, I will kill them. They will no longer be. Somebody says, I just don't believe God will do that. Let me quote to you a scripture. In fact, let me let you put Psalms 2 on the board. Psalms 2. What does Psalms 2 say?
Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish.
Listen to this real close.
Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled out a little, blessed are all they that put their trust in him.
For people that don't think God will do what he just said, you need to read that once in a while to remind you that if you don't kiss him, love him, and worship him, if you anger him, what did he say he would do to you? He'll what? That doesn't sound like a loving God to me.
He's God.
He's God, right?
He is.
Loving God or not loving God. In other words, if he said it right here on this Psalms 2, that you better pay attention to what's going on or you're going to be no more. Is that what he said? I'm glad I'm his son. I'm glad he knows my name. I'm glad I know his name. And I'm glad I know that he's the Ephesians 3:20 God. And I know that if I can call on him and I can have the faith to do it, and I think that God is moving right now into some kind of a unique, supernatural something for us here at this church with all the things that I've been told and seen in the last year and a half, and especially the last 2 weeks. Do you realize in 2 weeks' time, a pastor's wife from Cleveland, Tennessee, and a pastor from Iowa contacted me and said that God is fixing to start doing great and mighty things in our church. Are you ready?
Yes.
I'm ready. We're ready, aren't we, Mike?
Amen.
I'm ready. If you have faith and you know this God that we're talking about, you don't have to worry if you have a flat. I mean, just like when we were talking about how we're going to get these guys down here to pray for them. I said, no problem. I just asked the Father in Jesus' name to send a translation vehicle. Yeah. Isn't that amazing? I tell you what we need to learn to do. We need to learn to think like God.
Amen.
I mean, think like God.
Amen.
How are you going to learn to think like God? Spend time with Him in that book, right? You got to know who He is. You know, I think about that testimony that Mike gave you and Mike and Gracie the other day about that woman and that car. I just thought how much faith and everything they had to break all the poverty and curses and everything off of that little girl and got her blessed. She's going to be blessed for the rest of her life.
Amen.
All because she happened to be at the right place at the right time and run into a couple that knew the Ephesians 3:20 God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Can we pray for the representative to leave that all the bullet fragments will disappear?
Absolutely, we can pray.
Every internal organ is perfect and all the bones are knitted back.
He's a congressman, right?
Yes. From Louisiana. Representative.
Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, for this gentleman that got shot playing baseball. What's his name?
Keith
Scalise. Keith Scalise. We ask you, Father, you said if two or three of us on earth agree about anything we ask you for, it will be done. So, Lord, this Ephesians 3:20 God that knows everything, can do everything exceedingly abundantly above all we can even think or imagine, we ask you to fix that man's body from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. Take every fragment of metal out of him and make everything in his body perfect and let him be able to run and play by nightfall.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Do we know that God?
Yes, we do.
Okay, praise God. He can do anything. Now then, you know, if anybody asks you about this senator or congressman, you say, well, he's going to fully recover because we prayed at my church.
Right. Amen.
Guarantee he's going to fully recover. Somebody said, no, but you don't understand. Say, hey, you don't understand.
Yeah, you don't understand.
It's God that we're dealing with out here. It ain't some fly-by-night cowboy out here. We're dealing with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and God of Gods. Right, Tony? Amen. So who knows what's going to happen this week? The best may be, if you will step out on faith, this week may be the most awesome week. Because God, I believe He's not only going to put a special anointing upon me, I believe He's going to put a special anointing upon everybody that comes to this church. I really believe with all my heart, He's going to bless us beyond our wildest dreams. What can He do? Anything exceedingly abundantly above all you can even think or imagine. Is that Him, Miss Jackie? That's the one you and me love?
Yes, sir.
He's mine and your God?
Yes, sir.
Miss Carrie, is that your God too?
My God.
That's your God. Well, Father, we thank you and praise you for this beautiful day. We thank you and praise you for all these folks that have got the great faith. You're building our faith with your promises, and Lord, we're going to stand on your promises. We thank you for healing that senator or that congressman, making him well and doing it quickly. May everything begin to happen, and may by nightfall tonight, great, such mighty things will happen in his body. The doctors will not even begin to understand what happened to him, but he is well and able to walk by nightfall tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. And we know with you that's not difficult or hard.